Well, that's one of the reasons I wear like black, so that if I'm sweating profusely, that people can't see it as
gotcha,
much.
Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. So it's one of those tricks of the trade. Yeah. The way I start off each of these is basically to get our mic sound the right way. I do sort of like a 3-2-1, like a clap. All right, here we go. Ready?
Yep.
3-2-1. Good. Perfect. Jumbo, everyone. I'm Coach Zoe, or the Coach Zoe you know, and this is What the Foss, a podcast where we answer different questions that have to do with your physicality and mentality in order for you to move in the best way possible. Now, with Mother's Day and everything coming up, I wanted to try to talk to someone in my life who I know could teach me a lot of things about being a mother, because I don't have as much experience in being a mother myself. I wanted someone who was a little bit more of an entrepreneur, someone I looked to for some advice in those ways, a bit more on the side of dedication, and that's why today I am talking with Jody. Jody, nice to see you.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Now, we're chilling here in your salon because I don't typically have like pictures like this in my gym, as right, motivating as they are. How long have you been in this space? And how long have you been like doing this?
I've been in this space for 5 years, mm-hmm, and doing hair and anything regarding this business for longer than I'd like to say, but about 38 years. So it's been the only thing I've ever done.
Oh man, okay. So you started that when you were 2 years old.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Man, okay, well, cool. Well, we will get into some stuff that has to do with a little bit more of like the business, you know, and some stuff like entrepreneurial wise and things like that. But one of the things I kind of wanted to go into was one of the reasons that I wanted you on is because I feel like, as someone in my life, you were someone who is a very like dedicated person to doing sort of the entrepreneurship thing, also dedicated to your kids and dedicated to just a few different of these kind of things in like everyday life. So if you could, for me, what is kind of like your definition of dedication, or like what does that mean to you?
Well, dedication, commitment, it's a lot of work, but regarding the business or children or anything that I've gotten involved in, just become pretty passionate about it, so it matters and it means something, and want to do that to the best of my ability.
I see that as the bit of, yeah, trying to do that to the best of your ability, both on kind of like the good days, but also like the days that aren't so good, right? Like it's something you just have to be like, I guess I would give it like the consistency sort of definition.
And there's right, plenty of bad days, plenty of them. And if you have consecutive days, then you think, am I doing the right thing? You might second guess yourself, but there are a lot of similarities between work and home and personal, and mm-hmm, it's the reward. You know, you can feel, be pretty pleased with yourself when the outcome is what you hoped it would be.
Yeah, as especially going on kind of like the day-to-day atmosphere and you, you know, trying to balance your work and your life for 38 years, right? But you, from what I've learned about you, you've had a lot of points where you've had to be like dedicated before that was ever the case. Like more in your background, you have a bit more like of gymnastics sort of background in your history. I want you to tell me about that first. Like what did that entail?
Well, starting out very young ends up being more of a fun thing, a play thing, and then as you, with a little bit of natural talent, it becomes a lot more rigorous and being devoted and a lot of time. You got to put the work in because otherwise it's not going to happen for you. I had a good coach. I was surrounded by good people and did that from the age of 4 to 19, so it was that whole part of my life. And of course you're growing and you are maturing, hopefully, with every year, and it starts to become more meaningful to you. And competition was great, the people around me were great. I feel like my surroundings made it a little bit easier than it might be for someone else. You know, you hear those stories where maybe at home or coaching or your team, the people that are around you, is not, you're just not surrounded by those good people. So I had that and I feel very fortunate. So it was a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, you had a supportive team around you, kind of help guide you sort of in that way. The quick rundown of my gymnastics experience, I grew up as a watermelon with toothpick arms, right? So anything that was like hanging from rings or doing like uneven bars wasn't really my trade, right? I could try it, but it would be only for a few seconds. I did trampoline stuff because I had the legs to be able to jump for doing trampoline things. Mm-hmm. But what was more of like your specialty? Like, what did you focus in, or, you know, doing that for all those years, did that focus always change around, like, as the main thing?
No, I, starting out also with trampoline. So trampoline was the really great years. And when I couldn't do that anymore because problems with injuries, they didn't make it so much available. So then that turned into more of being on a gymnastics team and floor and vault, which I guess makes a lot of sense because it's more power like trampoline, or at least that's how I see it. Those two things were definitely the two that were my better events. Bars, not so much. I don't even really know why that was. It was never my favorite, I guess. So I didn't push as hard in that area.
Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, especially if you devote all that time to it, I mean, there has to be some element of fun, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Bruises and blisters were not fun, so I avoided that.
Right. So yeah, you went for more of the squishy floors and the trampolines and stuff like that. Yeah, I don't blame you. I would do the exact same thing. So no, I get that. Did you find anything that was like when you got, of course you did it from a super young age, so it was still like while you were growing and kind of like learning about the world, but were there any habits or anything that you kind of picked up that you had to sort of like change the way you thought about stuff or the way you like did things? Like, for example, I'm trying to think of it in the sense of like, let's say like running for me, right? Doing a lot of running myself. There were some things I had to like figure out and change. And one of the habits that I had to change was basically figuring out how to like fuel my body right for running, right? That I couldn't just like run and then pig out on a bunch of, you know, garbage kind of food, because if I had to run the next day, that was going to make that go way worse. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I had to change that habit around and go, oh, okay, so like if I'm doing this and I want to be good at this, like I have to change around my eating pattern for this. I can't always do the workout and then immediate big reward and like do this cycle mm-hmm. of that. That didn't work for me. So was there anything in gymnastics where you think, oh, I had to like really focus this like habit in?
Well, I think again, starting from so young and as you're growing physically and the hormones kick in and I guess there were things to change maybe as far as eating, but like you with running, fortunately to be burning so many calories on a daily basis when you're practice or training for an event. But yeah, as the body's growing, I'm still not very tall, but I was with other people that really had a growing spurt. And when you do that and it goes fast, sure, I never thought about it because I didn't really so much experience that. But if your legs, you know, if you've grown an extra 4 or 5 inches, that surely is going to change your workout or what you're able to do. But yeah, I'm still little Jody, so I didn't really have much of a growing spurt that way.
Sure.
But, and of course, I was having to be a healthy eater. You didn't want to really eat poorly, at least not for too long, because it was going to affect you, both how you feel and how you look, energy-wise. So, yeah, some changes along the way.
Yeah, I gotcha. Going from your gymnastics background and going a little bit more into, you know, eventually getting to the place that you are right now, you know, in your like business and your entrepreneurial career. Can you talk to me about a little bit how dedication or the bit of being like consistent or working on both good days and bad, like how has that worked like impacting your like business journey? So like maybe take me from where more like you've like started, because I myself, even after knowing for you for like a decade, I don't exactly know like where fully you started out. I've heard some things of like, oh, she had like this one business here in Florida or something, that's how she started, or oh, it was like started in her basement and yeah, something like that. So like I guess myself, I needed some clarification of like how did that start off.
Well, at a younger age, started out in a really good salon that taught their stylist continuing education, which was super important, because when you get out of school, you certainly don't know everything there is to know and still don't know. Mm-hmm. Things are forever changing. And so I was at that salon for a number of years, and I didn't move around very much, but I did go to a situation where it was, I rented space. Mm-hmm. So I had quite a bit more freedom. Yeah. And you had to make your own, hopefully good decisions to make your business grow and be better.
Sure.
Then I had a child, so that's where the at home came from. We had a basement, I had a salon down there. It was really just a great situation. Then moved to Florida, and when that started, I ended up, I always took extra classes, both for standing behind the chair and business-wise. Mm-hmm. And that taught a lot with, you know, you it's like a different perspective. You're behind the chair and you think you're observing everything that you have to do, but then when you go for the continuing education, you realize there's a lot more behind the scenes than you might have thought. Mm-hmm. But that was a great growing period. When I moved to Florida, I did not expect at all to have my own business, but it just happened that way. Mm-hmm. It was a smaller salon with 5 other people, and during that 12 years, again, learned so much with how to deal with people and how to delegate, and people want to feel involved and they want to feel like a team, I guess. And a lot of those things I just wasn't aware of as an employee of a salon. And now all these years later, to have my own suite, it's just me. I don't have to rely on anybody, which is good, and yet it's a lot of pressure. I mean, if you forget to do the towels or you forget to pick up color, or it's all on you, there's nobody else to blame. Yeah. So but after a long time of doing hair and just this business, if I don't know it by now, I'm a loser.
Yeah. No, I got you. And I think it's important where you touched on the bit of doing, like, if going in to do it yourself, where the good thing is that you can control everything, but the bad thing is that you control everything.
Right.
That, like you said, you can't put your blames on anybody else if something isn't done or something doesn't go right. That's on you. Mm-hmm. Right? If
absolutely,
yeah, if my gym environment or like your salon is like dirty and gross, whatever it is, it's not like, oh well, that person was here and this happened. It's like, well, no, you're the one who cleans it up, you're the one who sets it up, like that's your responsibility.
Well, and knowing your setup as well. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful when people come in and they say, oh my gosh, I love this, or mm-hmm. I love this space, or and I know you have something new coming along, and that's really wonderful.
Yeah, it's, I think it's nice, but it's scary, of course. But I think those bigger jumps can sometimes be scary. But, you know, some people, I think they're uneasy about doing, like, a big business jump. And some people are like, no, I'm confident. Like, I know this is exactly the route I need to go with this. Did you ever have that when it was either transitioning from the continuing education time to, like, your own Florida business, or any of those jumps to like a new office where you're like, okay, like now I have all these employees, or now I went from this to this?
I sure did. Was a big leap. Leap of faith, thinking that, okay, I just have to take this day by day, and things didn't always work out super well.
Yeah.
But it brought me to where I am now, and after doing the same thing for all those years, to really love it and enjoy it, I feel very fortunate.
You went in just a little bit about talking that you needed to do your work out of a basement because of having kids, right? Mm-hmm. Being an entrepreneur and having kids, now not only is that one thing that you need control over, but in your case, it's 3 things you need to control over. Talk to me a little bit about like the balance between like those two, like if, you know, like being dedicated, you know, to gymnastics and then going into your career and then going into having 2 little monsters of kids who I happen to know. What was the way that you kind of like balanced that out? Like, did you always figure it out? Were you like unsure about it? Like, how'd that go?
Well, again, I always had such a wonderful support system. And I guess that's huge in anything we're talking about. But, my mother was very available, wanted to be there, wanted to be that ideal grandparent, and that allowed me to focus on work. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, you leave work, you shut it off, and now you're a mom. And I always wanted to be a mom, and I was so blessed to have 2 kids, boy and a girl. Just a very fortunate situation. Yeah.
So yeah, a big thing, even if you feel like maybe at times you're doing things on your own, it's still important to have that support system around you, because it doesn't have to be something of a fully like big, you know, like dedicated family to like do all the things of helping you like raise kids and stuff like that, but maybe it's just other people who happen to be at that chapter of your life who happen to help you out and happen to help you be able to continue on pursuing your dream of doing that while also raising your children.
Yes.
So it seems like just one of those things that is it true that it's one of those things like you believe until you actually have one that you don't really understand? Because I've heard that a few times, right? I've heard that oh, well, you don't have a kid. Oh, well, you don't understand like the commitment it takes for this or like this. And I'm like, okay, well, like I get commitment, but I do know that parenting is a whole different thing. Like I'm a parent of a pit bull, right? My daughter is like 2 or 3 feet off the ground, maybe if she's standing, right? But like, I know that's not the same thing. But is that true where it's like, you didn't know the good and bad of raising a kid until you actually had one?
I would say absolutely.
Yeah.
Again, you can think you know. You can have good friends, as you do, that have a child, and you're involved with that them and the child. And
sure.
But, you know, the middle of the night, waking up and exhausted, and then you still have to go to work. You know, you still have to be present, and it's difficult sometimes. You have this love and need to care for this child that sometimes is sick or just natural stuff, but in the morning you still have to show up and press on, you know.
I gotcha. Yeah, so I mean, there's a balance of course, like not so good days and like good days. Is there any day you think you can highlight right off where it could be the most boring memory to somebody else, but like to you it was like, oh, like we were sitting by our pool and it's just like this one thing that happened this day? Or is it something that's like super notable of like, oh, it was this kid's birthday and this kid happened to fall in the pool and break their face, you know, just something that's like that. Yeah. Maybe it was more a standout, but it could be like a positive, like it doesn't have to be negative like breaking the face, but something that's more positive, let's say, than that just really stands out.
I think to keep it on a positive note, I did nurse both kids.
Okay.
And a lot of people in my family did not, so they thought maybe that was like, well, why are you going that route? And but I'll tell you, there's something about when that bond that you have with this baby that you felt close before the birth, but then they're born and you're just looking at this creature like, wow, I made this. And in the middle of the night when you're tired and the baby needs to eat, and it's just you and this beautiful creature that you made, it's a pretty special time. They're looking up at you and it's just the two of you. And I remember a lot of those moments with both kids, and it's pretty sweet.
I gotcha. Now let's say there is somebody who's watching or listening right to this, and they need some example from somebody who is, let's say, like a stronger mother figure, right? Somebody who's been established in it like yourself, and there's somebody newer, because I think I have this from you. You gave me some quote at one point that says, and I quote, my kids can't beat me in anything. Let them try, because I am stronger than either of them. So,
I don't remember saying that.
No, you definitely didn't. But it sounds like something I'm sure you would say. No, but regarding that, if there is somebody who's like a new mother, right, on something like this, what advice do you think you would give to somebody who is a new mother, or people thinking about how, you know, like to be a mother, especially around like Mother's Day coming up and things like that? Like, what advice might you give to somebody who is a new mother?
Well, I would have to imagine that every experience is different, even for myself having two children. I was much more, I think, uptight with the first child. And when the second child came, that's why she's so perfect, right? Your wife. I was much more relaxed, though, and really tried to live in the moment, because those days go by so quickly. And it's your job to just focus on that child that needs you 100%. And just to listen to your heart, your body, your instinct is a big thing, and it will guide you a lot. And if you have questions, there's plenty of people to ask, even if it's not family members. You have a doctor, and hopefully have friends that you can say, I'm just really struggling today, or how did you handle this or that? So I just think all that. You have help, but you need to listen to yourself.
So trusting an inner voice of yours, or kind of that gut instinct, but also not really being afraid to ask a question, or not really being afraid to not know about something.
I would say, yeah.
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 Because any question is a good question. It means that you're seeking an answer and something that's going to help you. I didn't have a terrible time, but I mean, there were times when it was just a bad day and you're overtired and you need a little help and you need to ask for it.
Yeah. I imagine having, any advice, whatever it is, just getting through that. What do you feel like as you went through different stages of motherhood? If there was somebody like you asked for advice, or if you could have had somebody around for anything, was it better if like they came around and said, hey, like I'll take the kids off your hands? Or was it more that you like you just had somebody as an ear to, you know, like listen to? Or like, what do you think is like the most helpful thing? Like, if I knew somebody who's a new mother, like what could I do to maybe like, what's the best thing you think I could do to like benefit them? Is it just listening to them? What do you think?
I think all those things, definitely listening. And I also think if you are able to lend a hand, or let me take the baby for, or the child for a little bit so you can get some rest, or, and again, my problem with that was when somebody wanted to offer, I felt like that must have meant in their eyes I was failing. Like I wasn't good enough and I needed help, and that's just silly. Everyone needs help no matter what, and a child is taxing. I mean, they are relying on you for everything. And if you have help, it's a good thing.
Yeah, I got you. So if you have some mother who's maybe they're a new parent, and let's say they've just had their kid, or they're about to have their kid, and they're just scared of messing it up, they're scared of being like, oh man, well, I haven't done this before. Like, sure, I've tried to read a book or something about it. But I also, in my opinion, I also think that you can't ever be fully prepared as a parent. And you can, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but you might not be able to be fully prepared as a parent. But is there anything you would say to someone if some other mom came in here and was like, hey, I'm really scared about doing this whole mother thing?
I think that has to be a really natural thing, especially with the very first child. I guess sharing your own experience and that you had those days, but it all comes together and it's all good. It all just works itself out, but certainly a natural feeling to be uneasy or nervous or in doubt yourself, but that baby's going to come. So you, I think maybe to the reading or I think that's all helpful. I think that'll give you a little bit of insight with what to expect, but, you know, it's all going to be okay.
Yeah, basically, yeah, saying that it's all going to be okay. It's all that, look, this situation is happening. Like, it's going to happen. So you don't have to fully be prepared for everything. But as long as, like, you try to do your research what you can, try to be, like, caring about that situation and really just, you know, just understanding and acknowledging that you might not have all the answers to everything, and that maybe, whether it's getting advice from other people or getting it from books or whatever the case is, just knowing that you can learn some of these things along the way.
And share with your partner. Not everyone's lucky enough to have that partner, but when it's the two of you creating this family, it's the communication and just sharing how you feel. And they're going to be nervous too about the situation and maybe doubting themselves. Am I going to be a good dad or mom? Or, you know, but it's going to work out. It's going to be okay.
Gotcha. Well, there's only a couple other questions, but one of them that I'm going to throw in here is, well, do you believe that Mother's Day should be treated like your second birthday?
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
I think there should be fireworks and the whole deal.
I completely agree. I think it should be. But so since neither of your kids will see this before actual Mother's Day, because that's more when it would be out, so they can't prepare ahead by like using this as a cheat sheet. But if there was something that your kids could do for you for Mother's Day, like, what do you think that would be? Like, what's your, like, ideal Mother's Day? Where it's like, hey, don't worry, we've rented this yacht and there's big fireworks over here. Don't worry, have the charcuterie board, you're good.
I can go that far.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, what's ideal?
There's nothing more that I love than when the four of us, so my two kids and you and Frankie's partner, when we're all together, and none of you might notice, but there are oftentimes in that evening or afternoon that I just sit back and look at all of you, and when everyone's laughing and sharing and having a good time, it just really fills your heart with genuine love and just being together.
Nice. Yeah. That was way better than I would have said. I would have said, yeah, give me all the charcuterie boards. Yeah. Yeah. Rent a fun house out, you know. Yeah. Get this yacht. Let's go for it.
But. Well, you know, they won't see it Mother's Day, but you'll know.
Sure. Yeah. I'll know at least. So that's what matters. Okay. Well, last question that I tend to try to ask everybody who I interview for something is, my business, FOSS Movement, is all about, you know, having people kind of explore different movements, be able to like grow in their fitness, but also just like do different activities and work on their habits that can help them out kind of in the future. But if you, let's say this was like your final thing, like your only words kind of out to the world of something based on your experience going through motherhood, going through gymnastics, going through being an entrepreneur, are there three kind of like, that can be either actions or sort of like mindset changes in that case, are there three things that you would advise for someone in order for them to like live their best life? Like if there's three of them that you got on hand.
Well, part of that is easy for me. I think where I am now in my life, the balance of having love in your life and being positive, surrounding yourself with like-minded people, and spiritually, I think those things are all really important ways to live your life.
So just, yeah, the balance of all of those and finding a balance in those, not taking one of them too seriously, you think?
Yeah, and I wish that for everyone. I mean, when I, like you kids, I think you're all so great and together and individually. But yeah, if this was the last thing that I could speak of, I would want that to be my recommendation for living your best life.
I gotcha. Well, perfect. Well, yeah, if anybody wanted to find more information about you or find anything about your salon here, kind of out in Maryville, Tennessee area, where would they go to find stuff about you and like that?
I do have a website and on social media, Jody Dore Hair. Pretty easy to find if you're looking for it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Sweet. Okay. Well, I appreciate your time.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm glad you were here.
Thanks.